Have us turn, if you will, to John chapter 18, John 18, verse 38. While you're turning there, I'll just quote a verse of Scripture from John chapter 8 and verse 32, where Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When you get over into John chapter 18, as Jesus is drawing closer and closer to the cross, he's in Pilate's judgment hall. We come to that time where Pilate goes out before the people, having been speaking with Jesus. It was a kind of a one-sided conversation, actually. But Jesus said, or Pilate said to Jesus, I'll just refer you to this, we're all familiar with it. Pilate asked the question, he said, "What is truth?" I don't know if he asked it cynically or sarcastically or sincerely, but he asked the question, "What is truth?" And people are very cynical about that today and very confused about what the truth is. And I just want to say a few things tonight about, just simply about truth, just some general comments on the truth. And I'll move along as quickly as I can, but let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the good instruction, the reminders that we've had tonight about our enemy, the devil, and how we can resist him. We thank you that you have given us a message where we've not only been warned, but also given some practical instruction from your word about how to contend with our enemy, the devil. An encouragement in that we can stand against him and we can overcome him. And Lord, we know that this is only because we have your truth. And we pray and ask that you'd help us to have a deeper appreciation for your truth and a better understanding of truth tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I want to just speak on that subject, understanding truth. And I want to speak on three areas. Number one, the source of truth. There's nothing, of course, nothing that be new or novel tonight. But to think about these three things, the source of truth, the significance of truth, and the stewardship of truth. That's what a church is all about. That's what individuals are all about. We are contenders for truth. We depend upon truth, and we must have it. Well, the source of truth, Pilate said, "What is truth?" And truth has its source in two things. Number one is the person of the Savior. Amen. He is truth. Amen. As Brother Wells said tonight, if we don't have Jesus, we don't have what we need to overcome, resist the devil. In John 4 and in verse 16, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, secondly, it's very important for us to just remember this and be reminded of it and appreciate and rejoice in it, that truth also has its source in the pages of the Holy Scripture. This is all, the only thing that we have as a source of truth tonight is the Word of God, of written truth. In Psalm 119, verse 142, the psalmist said, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." We live in a day when in our political system, the majority part of it, is absolutely against truth. For decades now, they've tried to erase truth from the public square. They wanted to remove the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And they're the enemies of truth. In verse 15 of that same psalm, David said, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." Amen. In the pages of this Bible, we have the truth. Amen. It's good to read other books. But this is the source of truth. It's good to read the comments and the thoughts of other men on truth, but our Bibles are the source of truth.
Amen.
Brother Wells was talking about sanctification. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17:17, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth.
Yes.
Thy word is truth."
Amen.
Sanctification is absolutely essential to overcoming the devil.
Sure.
Holiness
right.
is essential. And nobody can ever be sanctified and therefore stand against the devil unless they're sanctified by truth. There's no other way to be sanctified.
Right. Amen.
Amen. That's why preachers get so excited about people and so burdened, and sometimes to the point of being besides themselves, when people that are members of the church don't show up to get all the truth they can.
Right.
Amen. And high commendation to those who are faithful in attending the Lord's
Amen.
Services. Amen. I know sometimes people are just too sick to come to the services, but, you know, as we all know, they're not too sick to do a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of fact. Nobody's mad at anybody about that, but we're sad about that and concerned about that because people need to be sanctified. If for one thing they're going to stand against the devil
right.
and they're not going to get sanctified, but to the degree that they get truth.
Right.
So the source of truth, the person of the Savior, and it's within the pages of the scripture. And then the significance of truth. I just want to say two things about that, a few things under each of those two things. Number one, truth is independable. It's independent. Truth, and here's what I mean by that. Truth exists. Truth is going to be here. Truth exists independently of anybody's human convictions about it or whether or not anybody agrees with it.
That's right. Amen.
The truth is not going to go out of existence
because
of what people's attitude. Truth is what it is regardless of anyone's purported findings about it. Amen, right? You've pastor for any time, any of us, you'd be around people and all of a sudden they come to a place where they've gotten a little bit too smart for their own good. And they've just decided that this Bible is not everything that is cracked up to be. And so they've come to that conclusion. That's their findings, in other words. People write books, religious books, about their findings about the Bible. I couldn't care less about their findings in that regard. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, Paul wrote, and he said, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings." I don't like to hear vain babblings from the pulpit.
Right.
Amen. And oppositions of science falsely so called.
Yep.
Now the science does not, nothing about science verifies or confirms the Word of God.
Right.
That's turned around. It's the Bible that confirms the so-called findings of science as to the veracity of them.
Yes,
the truth of the, it's not the other way around. Paul said, warned young Timothy about these oppositions of science falsely so called. Every time they come up with something, it gets overturned. They look ridiculous. Which some professing have erred concerning the truth.
Yep.
I'm just telling you tonight that if preachers aren't careful, they can get too smart for their own good.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
They need to stick with the truth of God's Word and weigh everything they read by that. Not just preachers, but everybody else. It's like that verse in Romans 1:22. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They weren't always fools, but they became fools. People who get off to a good start can become fools if they think that they're smarter than the Bible is. And it's happened again and again and again. So in this sense, truth is objective. It's not subjective. In other words, it isn't subject to your opinions or to anybody's private interpretations of it. It's objective truth. You hear this term, subjective truth and objective truth. When people talk about subjective truth, they're talking about, well, truth is subject to the culture, to what's happening today. You know, somebody said not too long ago, said, doesn't he know that we're living in 2020? Well, it doesn't matter if we're living in 2020 or 1520 or 20 A.D. Or when we're living. Truth is not subject to the culture. It's not subject to your conditions, your feelings, or anything that's going on in the world. Truth is what it is, and it'll always be what it is. So truth is what it is, regardless of anybody's purported findings. Oh, well, you find people that are coming up with new things. I found this not long ago. I'll just tell you this little story. We were having a Bible conference years ago. I said not long ago, but years ago. And I'd forgot all about this. But since I've been resigning from the church, a visiting pastor was talking to one of my sons at the church. And he said, I remember years ago at the Valiant for Truth conference, he said, I remember going up to your dad. And I said, I have found that there were really, I think he said 13 apostles. Maybe it wasn't apostles, but it was something really far out there. And he said, I'd forgotten all about it until then. He came up and he said, I have found that there are, and he came off with this thing. And he thought it was really something. And he said, I remember your dad's reaction. He said, you have? And walked off. See, not interested in that kind of thing. Shouldn't give people the impression that it deserves too much of a hearing. So truth is independent of people's convictions or their agreement with it, of their so-called findings. And it's also, truth is what it is regardless of anybody's feelings.
Right.
Amen. And I just don't feel like that's fair. I just don't feel like that's right. That part about wives be submissive to your husbands, I just don't feel like that part about husbands love your wives as Christ loved their church. Well, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, it really doesn't matter how we feel about it. It matters in the sense that it might indicate that we need a good dose of the mourner's bench. But truth is what it is regardless of anybody's feelings about it. William Penn said, right is right, even if everyone is against it, and wrong is wrong, even if everybody's for it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. In Jeremiah 17 and 9, Jeremiah had this to say about our feelings. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
So it doesn't matter how sincere a person is in their feelings. What matters is how scriptural you are in your feelings.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot, you know, people have changed their feelings about separated living. They just don't feel like certain things are important anymore. I was talking to a pastor not long ago. I don't feel like this is important. I don't feel like this matters anymore. And so on. I don't feel like. Here's what I said. I said, I don't feel like it makes a difference. I said, you sound like what God said about the preachers in Ezekiel 22, who made no difference.
That's right.
Who put no difference.
Yep.
Who said it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter.
Yes, sir.
And these things still make a difference regardless of how anybody feels about it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how sincere a person is in their feelings. What matters is how scriptural our feelings are. Amen.
Amen.
People, a lot of people, including Christians, some Christians, findings and feelings regarding truth have helped usher in evolution.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because of their feelings about it. Their findings. They've helped usher in things like abortion.
Yep. Amen.
Just because of their, some Christians, professed Christians, their feelings. They feel like it's all right in this case and that case.
Yep.
Amen. And I'll tell you something else. The sodomy that is so rampant in our land today, beyond belief.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what has really hastened that whole thing along into the place that it is in our world and in our society today? The dilatory conduct, the unscriptural reactions and responses of Christians. Amen. Christians are to be the light of the world. Amen. This dead in sin, darkened world needs light. And Christians are the only light.
Amen.
People need something that appears to have an anchor.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
They need salt.
Yeah.
Salt in their presence to slow down and impede the decay and the rottenness of society.
Right. Right.
But this is just the way it is today. The salt has lost its savor.
Yep.
More than ever before. In this day when men are growing worse and worse and wicked men are getting worse and worse, Christians are getting worldlier and worldlier and worldlier, and the salt has lost more and more and more of its savor, and women are running around looking like they wish they were men, and men are running around giving the impression that they don't have any problem identifying with women. And that has helped usher in the standard is not there. The light has diminished. And you can give a lot of thanks and explanation for the sodomite explosion today to worldly carnal Christianity.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Let me tell you what. The Word of God is truth. And abomination still means abomination. And it's not a pick and choose deal which one of the abominations is an abomination.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We live in a post-truth, post-Christian, Laodicean church era. I'm just saying all of these things to press down why it is so important to have truth. I was sitting here thinking this week, I like Bible conferences. There's a little bit of difference, right, Brother Hall, between a Bible conference and a revival or something like that. Just a Bible conference where you bear down on certain things in the Bible, as Brother Wells has been bearing down on this subject of Satan and his devices and his wiles and how to contend and resisting. These Bible conferences are important. We've got to be contenders for truth. Pastors and preachers, and I'll add to that politicians, that are contending for truth. And we have a few politicians contending for truth. My son spent 4 terms in the Missouri legislature. It is as rotten and corrupt government is, and anybody that comes in with principles that will not vary from those principles gets a bullseye there in the crosshairs of people on both sides of the aisle. Pastors and parents and politicians are subject to more animosity today if they're contending for truth than there ever has been. So there's all kind. We live in a day. And by the way, Paul said this. He said this to the Corinthian church. They're the church, you know, that didn't get high marks for spirituality.
Right.
Probably the worldliest church in the whole New Testament.
Yeah.
He had to say to them, he had to say this, Brother Hall. Did you ever feel like just saying, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Right.
Some churches, Brother White, they think the pastor's their enemy when he's telling them the truth about things that, you know, ringing their bell.
Yeah.
Then they becomes their enemy because he's telling the truth.
Yes, sir.
Children rebel against their parents because their parents are standing for the truth.
Right.
Amen. Well, we have subjective and alternative truth. We've gone through all of this. There's such postmodernism. Amen. What that is relative truth. It's all just relative. Live in a day when really people talk about this. What matters, people's ideas, what matters is my truth. Now, your truth may matter to you. But you have your truth about this, and I have my truth. Well, there's only one truth. And that's God's truth.
Amen.
Truth is not whatever we want it to be.
Amen.
I mentioned that quotation from George Orwell, who wrote 1984 in Animal Farm. He said, in the day of universal deceit, and we almost have this in some churches, in a day of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Amen. I mean, it would be a revolutionary act today to get up and proclaim strongly and plainly what used to be commonplace.
That's right.
Amen. To tell women to act and dress like women and men to act and dress like men and behave and comport themselves as if they're celebrating the femininity that God gave them. Or the masculinity that God gave them.
Right.
That's become a revolutionary idea today.
Yes,
you know what another revolutionary idea is? You ought not to be working on the Lord's day.
Amen.
Amen. Unless it's an emergency.
Sure.
That's a revolutionary act today, Brother White.
Yeah. Sure,
you're not to mow your grass on Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. I went to an independent Baptist church up in Michigan one time, and I wasn't there when this happened, but shortly afterward, I mean, it was an independent, red hanky waving, spitting, hollering, run around the auditorium kind of church. They had an old-fashioned Sunday. Everybody came in their old clothes, their bib overalls, an old-timey dress and bonnets and all of that stuff. Had dinner on the ground after church Sunday morning. Brother Wells, as soon as they got done eating, the men climbed up and reshingled the church building. That's why they wore those old clothes on Sunday. I'm telling you, it would rock some of these preachers and their foundations if they could get the light of the Word of God and how seriously God takes that set, that day of rest.
Amen.
Amen. You read about it. That's serious with God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah, truth has fallen in the street. Truth has enemies, and truth is an enemy. One man said, truth is the foe of falsehood, the antagonist of error, and the exorcist of ambiguity.
Amen.
Ambiguity.
Yeah.
You know what ambiguity is? That's when you get, when you preach in such a way nobody really knows what you're saying. I like the story of the guy that woman got up one morning, one Sunday morning, she's looking around for her husband, couldn't find him anywhere. About 1 o'clock, he came through the door and she said, where you been? He said, I've been to church. She said, what did the preacher preach about? And he said, scratched his head and said, I don't know. He never did say.
Yeah.
You ever been to a service like that? They get on preaching, well, what would they wonder what he was talking about? Yeah, amen.
Amen.
You know, that's a waste of time.
Yes.
At best. So, truth exists independently also of human consciousness of it. This is very important. Whether you know there is, this truth is here, it's still here.
Yep.
You don't get a pass because you disobey truth because you don't know it's here.
Yeah.
No, that's the way it works with the state patrol, right? Somebody was talking this morning about getting pulled over by a state patrolman, and they gave him a ticket. A lot of times people get pulled over by a state or a patrolman, and they say, I didn't know the speed limit.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't know, you didn't know. Okay, well, here, I'll tear this ticket up. That's not the way it works.
No.
Yeah, I didn't know it was against the law to steal something out of this dollar store.
Yeah.
It's not like I went to Macy's and stole something. I didn't know. Well, that's the way God's truth is. People are going to give an account for how they handle God's truth.
Amen.
Now, there's going to be degrees of punishment, degrees. A lot of that's going to depend upon how much they knew or didn't know. But listen, there's a penalty for disobeying God's truth. Amen. Whether you knew it was there or not. In the Old Testament, something I saw right away, right after I got saved, started reading the Bible. I was reading about all those sacrifices and all of that. And then I started reading about the sacrifices that a sacrifice had to be made for sins of ignorance.
Right?
Yes, sir. Said, make a sacrifice. God said, I want a sacrifice for the sins that my people have committed, even that they were ignorant of.
Right.
A sin sacrifice. A sacrifice for sin. Even though the sin was committed by people who didn't know it was a sin, God said it's still a sin.
Right.
Amen. Ignorance is no excuse.
Amen.
When it comes to God's truth.
Amen.
One man said, not being known doesn't stop the truth from being true. So ignorance of truth because of one's circumstances doesn't alter anything about the truth. You know, I'll disobey my parents because my parents aren't what they ought to be. But my circumstances at home, if you had the husband I have, you know, I'm a Christian woman and I'm not subject to my husband, but if you do my husband, in fact, your circumstances mean nothing. That may be an explanation, but it's not an excuse.
Right.
If you know what kind of woman my wife is, she's so mean and hateful and stubborn and doesn't do what she ought to do. That's no excuse.
Right.
If you knew my circumstances.
Yep.
Well, circumstances are not anything that alters truth. Ignorance of truth by choice doesn't alter anything about truth. Ignorant of truth by choice. The Bible talks about people, listen to this, who are willingly ignorant. They don't actually have their fingers in their ear when they sit in church. But they are determined not to pay attention. They don't read their Bibles like they ought to. Because they think they're like ostriches, and the deeper they can get their heads in the ground, the safer they'll be. I don't have time to tell you all of this, but one night, time when I was in my 20s, I was knocking on doors in the summertime, and I knocked on this door, and I was going door to door, soul winning. Back when, you know, you just, somehow you're going to tell them. You're going to tell them, you're going to give them the Roman road. Remember that? So I knocked on this one door. It was just the screen there, and man came to the door, and I started chatting him up a little bit. I started talking to him, and I got to the place where I said, have you ever been saved? And he didn't answer. And I said, well, what I wanted to tell you about that. And I started out with Romans 3, and I said, here's what the Bible says about it. Here's what he did. Now, look, this is what he did. He went, standing right there on the other side of that screen. You know what I did? I went right on through the whole Roman road. And when he could see I was done, he pulled his fingers out of his ears. Now, a lot of people, they don't actually put their fingers in there, but they're doing it. Yeah. You just think I'm listening. So I asked him, I said, why did you put your fingers in your ears? I don't remember my exact words, but that's what I asked him. Why did you put your fingers in your ears? I was talking to you. It was all I could do to keep from laughing, but I was so bewildered I couldn't even laugh. Here's what he said, Brother Hall. He said, I just figured that basically what he said, what I didn't know isn't going to hurt me. But here's what he didn't know, is that his choosing to be ignorant of truth doesn't change anything about his accountability for it. We're living in a day like this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're doing it everywhere today. And these people don't understand how ignorant they are. I heard a younger preacher, not that young, probably about 40, and he got up in front of everybody's evangelist, whatever. He said, I don't preach doctrine. That's God. I just preach Jesus. That's about how he said it, Brother White. Oh, I was impressed, really impressed. He just preached Jesus. He don't preach doctrine. What a buffoon. Amen. Well, we're at that time. He said, now listen to this. They'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're bouncing around from church to church looking for preachers that'll tickle their ears. But now here's the danger in that. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. See, when you make a note of this, this is really profound. If you turn your head to the left, at the same time you're turning your head from the right.
Right.
When you turn your head, turn yourself from something, you're turning yourself to something. And here's what happens. The Bible says, they that turn their ears from the truth shall be turned unto fables. People have turned their ears from the truth, and now they believe anything. They believe a man is a man if he thinks he's a man, and a woman is a woman if she says she's a woman or she's a man, whatever. They change from day to day. That's the insanity of sin, see?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you turn yourself from the truth, just to the degree you're turning from truth, you're turning to fables,
right,
to nonsense, to foolishness.
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's what happens. It's not what might happen, it's what does happen.
Right.
And people will believe anything. So truth is independent.
Amen.
Amen. It's like the old man said, little dogs have been barking at the moon for years, but the moon still keeps shining.
Amen.
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 Here's another thing, and I may just wind her up here. Finish up tomorrow, Lord willing. Truth is indispensable.
Oh, yes,
amen. You can't do without truth and get along. You're not going to get, things are not going to work out for you, well, for you or me, without truth in our lives. Amen. I'm telling you, if young people could really let this get a hold of them, things will work out well for you in life if you will embrace God's truth with your heart.
Yes, sir.
But things are not going to work out well for anybody anywhere who does not have the right attitude toward truth. It's indispensable as a compass for life. Amen. Edmund Burke said, when ancient opinions and rules of life are taken away, the loss cannot possibly be estimated. From that moment, we have no compass to govern us, nor can we know distinctly to what port to steer. Amen. Truth is a compass for our lives. The truth is our frame of reference for everything. You gotta have a frame of reference. That's what David was saying when he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's my frame of reference. Not long ago in southwest St. Louis County, not far from where I live, there's a little airport there, and a guy had gone up one of these small planes. There's about four people in the plane. And there's people, you know, people here no doubt know a lot more about, but the instrument panel, there's an instrument called the altimeter. And if you're not paying attention, you will get completely disoriented and you'll think that you're going up when you're actually going down.
Yes,
he got completely disoriented because that instrument was out of whack. Thought he was going up, and he was flying straight into the ground and killed everybody. The truth is our compass for life.
Amen.
One man said, it's not guided missiles, but guided morals that are our great need today.
Amen.
It's a compass that leads along a, you know where this compass leads? It leads you along a path of two things. One is virtue.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The Bible is a compass that will lead you in a path of virtue.
Amen.
Uprightness.
Yes, sir.
Holiness.
Yes, sir.
Honesty, integrity. A path of virtue.
Amen.
It's a compass that therefore leads us along. This goes right along with Brother Wells' sermon tonight. Bible is a compass that leads us along a path of victory.
Amen.
And we're supposed to be in a path of victory.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When you get saved, we're supposed to be on a higher plane.
Right.
Amen. I'm walking on the upward way.
Right.
New heights I'm gaining every day.
Amen.
Amen. Walking on higher ground. Truth, and this is where our whole nation is in trouble now. As goes the family, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. They all connect up. Truth is not only indispensable as a compass for just living your life, but it's indispensable for the conservation of liberty.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now that's why when our founding fathers framed our governmental system, you know what the uppermost thing on their mind was? They wanted us to have a nation and be a country where people would be free.
Yes, sir.
They weren't really interested in freedom. They were interested in liberty.
Right.
Now, here's what people don't understand, but people need to understand this. There's a big difference between freedom and liberty. Freedom means I can do anything I want to do, whether you like it, God likes it, or anybody likes it. I'm free to do what I want to do. And if I can, that's a good enough reason. I'll do it because I can. That's freedom. Big difference between that and liberty. Liberty says, I'll not do what I can do, I'll do what I ought to do.
That's right.
And you know what is going to make the difference there? The Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is the only thing that's going to tell people what they ought to do.
Amen.
And if you study those original documents, whether it's the Bill of Rights or the Constitution or any of their other writings, you won't find the word freedom.
Amen.
You'll find the word liberty.
Amen.
Starts out with life, liberty,
yes,
not freedom. Our founding fathers were wiser than that.
Amen.
I said all that to say this. They understood the importance of truth,
yes, sir,
to the survival of this nation.
Yes, sir.
It's indispensable for the conservation of liberty. Remember what Jesus said? You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. That's not only true for individuals, it's true for a nation. Oh, the founders had a lot of wisdom there. They knew the importance of truth because they understood the importance of virtue.
Yes, sir.
George Washington said it's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible.
Amen.
They understood that. That's what they fought for, stood for, wrote about, contended for.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
John Adams, the second president we had, said this. He said, our Constitution, our form of government, is made up only for a virtuous people.
Yes, sir.
It won't work for anybody else.
Yep.
That's why we're on such precarious ground today.
Yes, sir.
Our government is not working.
Yep.
We are going down into the abyss.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Because this Constitution will not work. You've got to have some virtuous truth speakers in government, or they'll do like our presidents, past presidents and the Congress. The Constitution's nothing to them. Amen. They become tyrants and rogues. That's how important truth is. That's why the more you study, you'll find out how much our founding fathers in the early years of our nation, first half century, they were doing everything they could to encourage freedom of religion.
Yes.
And don't think for one nanosecond they had Buddhism or Mohammedism, Islam. When they talk about religion there, they're not talking about pantheism. They were talking within the context of Christianity. You know why? Because they were talking in the context of truth. Amen. The first Supreme Court justice, the very first one, John Jay, what a godly man he was. He said, no human society has ever been able to maintain both order and freedom, both cohesiveness and liberty, apart from the moral precepts of the Christian religion. The first Supreme Court justice. Should our republic, not democracy, these little scheming, disingenuous liars, this is not a democracy. The founding fathers were scared to death of a democracy. They said, should our republic ever forget this fundamental precept of governments, so we will then be surely doomed. Well, they've forgotten it today. I just want to hasten along just for a minute or two. I don't know if I should or not. I'll tell you, brethren, this people do not understand the importance of truth. That's why it's so upsetting when you see people who monkey around with the preaching and teaching of truth. Amen. Now, people got all kinds of things that stir them up about, for example, Christian music. You know, good music, bad music, that's bad, that's good. And they really don't know what identifies good and bad a lot of time. You know what identifies the good from the bad is simply this. Is it true? Amen. Is it true? Amen. And we could mention some songs that are familiar to some of us. And, you know, really, if we just stop, that's not true. But, boy, it sounds good, right? Amen. They're toe tappers. And sounds good. Some of it's just not true. Amen. I'm not climbing my way to heaven. I'm already there. Amen. Boy, truth. Truth, 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 truth.
Amen.
I saw Donald Trump. Now, there's a lot of things about Donald Trump, of course, that we don't like. Truth be known, there's a whole lot of the presidents of foreign that's rottener that they just didn't live in a day where everything's exposed. But I saw him walk out on stage. There was a big flag hanging there. Did you see this? And as he walked toward the podium, you saw that flag as he walked by it. And he walked over to it and hugged it and wrapped it around it and hugged it and then looked back at all of the news media in the back like, how do you like this? Well, we ought to have that same attitude toward the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Farrell.